Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm Lucas Ann, and thank you for listening to Locked On Clippers. If you like the Locked On Podcast Network and you're interested in joining our team, this may be your chance. The Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. You can be a part of the fastest growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and the entire network to our national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com with your resume. That email address again was lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com. Now enjoy the show. Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han, and today is Thursday, June 1st, 2017. Now, we're here today with our second to last episode of the week. We'll wrap up our week tomorrow with a Friday episode and then be back next week from Monday through Friday. So today I just want to kind of run down through a little bit of the news of the day as far as the Clippers go, and then give kind of a preview of, or I guess maybe not a preview since it's coming out today, but a description of a column that I have coming out today about Chris Paul and Blake Griffin's max contracts. So first, just jumping into basically what happened today in Clipperland. The most important thing, I guess, would be news about Jerry West, who we obviously talked about a little bit more in depth on the last episode. He is obviously the all-time Lakers legend, Hall of Famer, storied and very accomplished NBA executive, current advisor to the Golden State Warriors, who the Clippers are interested in hiring away. And we talked about him in the last podcast because it just kind of leaked a couple nights ago that that the Clippers were interested, basically. That's all we had. Clippers are interested in prying Jerry West away. But then we learned, as we got into Wednesday morning, that not only were the Clippers interested, but he was very intrigued or very interested by what the Clippers were offering him, and that the Clippers had already actually spoken with him regarding a position, and that the Warriors, according to the Los Angeles Times, had given the Clippers permission to speak with Jerry West, which is important because as long as someone is under contract for one NBA team, other NBA teams can't come trying to recruit them. So in theory, the Clippers could be blocked from talking to Jerry West until his contract with the Warriors expires at the end of the season, technically July 1st. However, if the Warriors are conceding that they don't think they're going to be able to retain Jerry West, or if Jerry West says he wants to leave and the Warriors are respecting that wish, they can allow other teams to talk to him. In this case, reportedly, the Warriors have allowed the Clippers to contact Jerry West, and they have, and their strong mutual interest. And it sounds like, from people like Mark Stein and Brad Turner and Ramona Shelburne, that it's a very, very real thing that I don't know if anyone has said yet that it's likely to happen, but that has a real chance of happening. It's not just some rumor being floated around. So that's interesting. And it's interesting because, like we talked about in yesterday's episode, we don't know exactly where he fits into the Clippers organization. I don't think he's stepping in to be the general manager or president of basketball operations. But if he comes in as an advisory role to Steve Ballmer, the relationship with Doc Rivers would be a little weird. Now, the way that I'm envisioning this all working out is that Steve Ballmer, in his capacity as an NBA owner, is really hands-off. And that's what he's been for the last few years. Very, very hands-off. He's a fan. He writes whatever check Doc Rivers asks for, and he lets Doc have free run of the team. And that's a great thing, except that as an owner, you want to have a little bit more quality control in your organization than just trusting Doc Rivers all the time. Now, whether you think Doc Rivers is the best or the worst, or, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Doc Rivers or someone else, you don't always want to put all your faith in one guy and just give him a blank check and free run of the organization. Steve Ballmer, obviously not being an expert in the basketball field and not having a ton of basketball experience, has, you know, in theory, is currently turning to a guy like Jerry West to come in and be an advisor for him. And then Jerry West can help him decide, do we need to move on from Doc Rivers? If we do, who should we hire? And on just smaller ownership decisions where ownership can tell management to target a certain player, to pursue a certain trade, to not pursue a certain trade, or to veto any trade that management might come up with. Steve Ballmer right now, in the last few years, it seems like kind of is just letting Doc do whatever. And by having someone to advise him, Ballmer will now be able to exert a little more influence on Doc Rivers, or be at least a little more comfortable intervening. Now, this suggests that Doc Rivers won't be directly answering to Jerry West. Jerry West, in fact, probably won't even have direct veto power, just influence on Steve Ballmer, who will have direct veto power. But if you bring in a guy like Jerry West, it could be very possible that one of the things that he works with Steve Ballmer on is finding a new GM or president of basketball operations to take those duties primarily away from Doc Rivers. We know this is something the Clippers have at least considered following last season, even if Steve Ballmer isn't married to the idea. And it makes sense that a guy like Steve Ballmer who... But think about it this way. If Steve Ballmer fired Doc Rivers from his basketball operations role, or fired him altogether, or Doc Rivers agreed to just step down to be only the coach, or whatever, if Steve Ballmer needed to hire a general manager, how would he do it? With almost no NBA experience, the guy he'd lean on is Doc Rivers, so Doc Rivers would be hiring the general manager. That doesn't make sense. You bring in a guy like Jerry West to come be a big, high-profile advisor. He's going to help you make good decisions. He's going to help you attract top general management talent. He's going to help you build a better organization. So, you know, I think it's just a great move all around if the Clippers can keep pursuing it. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, kind of totally shifting gears, is Glenn Big Baby Davis. Now, Glenn Davis, you guys probably remember, played with the Clippers for a couple years back in 2014 and 2015. He was a buyout season pickup in 2014. He then played the full season with the Clippers in 2015. Ultimately, the Clippers chose not to bring him back in the summer of 2015 when they instead signed Josh Smith and Cole Aldrich to be their backup big men. Now, Glenn Davis, Big Baby, as he's affectionately known, has not always been the most gracious former Clipper. He's been taking to radio and TV talk shows on slow news days when they can't get any relevant guest. They bring on Big Baby, and they let him basically talk trash about his former team, the Clippers. And so he's been on, he's, you know, talked trash about Chris Paul because he dribbles too much. He's talked trash about Doc Rivers for being an overrated coach. He's talked trash about Chris Paul's leadership strategies and the Clippers' chemistry and, you know, yada yada. He's aiming for a quick headline, basically. And because he gives these shows headlines, or, you know, a video clip that's going to get retweeted a lot, they bring him on when it's a slow news day. Altogether, it's pretty lame. It's lame for him for being so disloyal. And not that he owes the Clippers anything as a former player, but these people are, you know, Chris Paul was his teammate. Doc Rivers was his coach for much of his career and gave him opportunities when no one else would. But so, Austin Rivers today, following a recent Big Baby tirade that, you know, I've just kind of started tuning him out, Austin Rivers kind of stood up when he was on The Undefeated today, which is the same kind of show that gives Glenn Davis a platform. They had Austin Rivers on today, and Austin kind of dissed Glenn Davis back. he basically said, how could you expect Doc to find playing time for a guy who is out of shape and could never even learn the Clippers plays? Now, we don't know what's what about the couldn't learn the Clippers plays thing, because Austin and Davis only played together for half of a season, and at that point, Davis had been with the Clippers for a full season before Austin joined the team, or a little less than a full season. And, you know, it's hard to know from our perspective if it's true or not. It's not like we can watch and necessarily tell. And so the only people that know that are, whether it's true or to the extent that it's true, are those two guys and the other people within the team. Now, what is definitely true is that Glenn Davis was always out of shape. He was notoriously overweight during his NBA career. It was a big part of the reason why his career was not as successful as it could have been, and it was a big part of the reason why his career ended so early. Instead of him being able to maintain into his 30s, he basically played his last NBA game at 29 years old. So, fine. He's, you know, Austin Rivers stood up for his dad, aka the coach of the team, for his teammates, his chemistry, whatever. It's not much there, honestly. It's not much. But then Glenn Davis opened his mouth again. He posted this little video online responding. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch it because I think it's just so ridiculous. Like, I'm not here to talk about drama between some washed up veteran who played 12 minutes a game on the Clippers 3 years ago. I really don't care. But the only thing that I care about enough to bring this story up is to say, you know, to encourage you guys to not care either. Because Glenn Davis and people like him, Jared Dudley, when he goes on these shows to talk about the Clippers, and, you know, let's say there's some malcontent warrior who shows up, or even some former Kobe teammate who comes out to trash him. A lot of these people are just out of the spotlight. They're used to being NBA players, and now they're not relevant anymore, and they're looking for media attention again. They want someone to interview them again. No one cares about them enough to interview them. But now, if they're going to give you a juicy soundbite about Chris Paul or Kobe Bryant or Steph Curry, okay, they'll come, you know, now you can interview them, and they want that attention. And Glenn Davis basically is crying out for this attention. He's 31 years old. His NBA career has been over for two seasons. He was never that good to begin with. And he's just kind of floating around, appearing on these talk shows now and then, looking for attention. So I don't need to listen to what he has to say because I know that it's worthless. There's two options here. He either has no clue what he's talking about and is not a very bright person at all, which I'm not sure that I believe, or he's intentionally saying absurd and provocative things so that he can get his name in the headlines, because there's no other way to do it anymore from his standpoint. And I think it's probably the second one. Now, he was solid as a Clipper. The Clippers, especially that first season when they signed him as a buyout guy, desperately needed bench options. And then even in the second season, they spent their mid-level exception on Spencer Hawes. So you can imagine that Glenn Davis ended up being a big part of that team as the fourth big when Spencer Hawes was the third big. Spencer Hawes played so badly that Glenn Davis basically ended up being the third big. He was a solid rotation piece. He played hard when he was on the court, even though he wasn't tremendously skilled. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing bad. I don't have any bad takeaways from Glenn Davis's time as a Clipper. But it's not like he did so much that the team owed him another contract when they had the opportunity to get other guys. And it's not like he has license as, you know, the ninth or tenth man for a couple of years to come in and trash the team in this press. Now, here's why he's mad. Because Austin Rivers, at 24 years old, is a significantly better basketball player than Glenn Davis ever was in his career. And Austin Rivers, last summer, as a 23-year-old, signed a $35 million contract, which will give him more over the course of three seasons than Glenn Davis made in his entire nine-year NBA career. And that upsets him. I can guarantee you that upsets him. So, you know, like I said, I didn't even watch that video that Glenn Davis posted. I don't care. And I hope that you guys don't care either. And I hope that maybe if you got lured into caring last night, that next time he comes, you know, a month from now, 2 months from now, maybe when Chris Paul signs his new contract, Glenn Davis will be on a talk show saying how it was a horrible mistake. Or maybe if Chris Paul leaves the Clippers, he'll be on a talk show blaming Doc Rivers. Whatever way it goes, just don't listen to him. He doesn't matter. He's irrelevant. And I think that's enough on Glenn Davis for today. Now, in the last portion of this episode, I want to talk about my column that's coming out today on ClipsNation.com. So depending on what time you're listening to this, it might be coming in a couple hours. It might be out already. It might have come out this morning. But you can go find it at ClipsNation.com. You can go probably check out the links from my Twitter at Lucas Jahan or the Clips Nation Twitter at Clips Nation SBN. But basically, I just did a rundown on maximum contracts in the NBA this summer and the implications for Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. So I'm going to get into it and try to do maybe an abridged version, and you can check out the more technical details in the post. But this will be a trend in the next, you know, in coming posts in the next couple of weeks, that I'm going to try to basically explain a portion of the collective bargaining agreement, basically the salary cap rules as they apply to the Clippers, and then literally apply them to the Clippers situation. So in this case, in the first part of the article, I talk about the rules regarding max contracts in the new collective bargaining agreement that goes into effect July 1st. And then in the second part of the article, I break down basically what those rules mean for Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, obviously the two players that the Clippers are going to offer maximum contracts to this summer. Now, the generic setup goes like this. Players with less than 7 years of experience can earn a maximum salary of 25% of the salary cap. Players with 7, 8, or 9 years of experience can earn 30%, and players with 10 or more can earn 35%. That means that in a year like this year, when the salary cap is projected to be $101 million, the maximum salaries are pretty easy to compute. $25.25 million, $30.3 million, and $35.35 million. Pretty easy. Just the, you know, the percentages of 100 right there. So there's a couple exceptions to that. The first one, which won't come into play this season, but we saw in the past with players like Kobe Bryant, is that a player can make 105% of their previous salary, even if it exceeds what would be their percentage maximum. So this could maybe affect Chris Paul or Blake Griffin by the end of this contract, when they could each be earning over $40 million, if the salary cap hasn't increased such that that percentage is less than 35%, and 105% of that 40 something million that they're making is more than 35% of the salary cap, they'll be eligible to make the greater amount, even though it exceeds their normal percentage. Only, of course, using bird rights to return to their previous team. Then there's what's known as the Rose Rule, which was in effect in the last collective bargaining agreement, that states that a player with 4 years of experience can receive 30% of the salary cap instead of 25 in his big maximum extension following his rookie year if he meets a certain criteria. All NBA appearances, All-Star appearances, NBA MVP. And then there's a new rule, the designated veteran player extension, that allows a player with 8 or 9 years of experience, normally eligible for 30%, to be eligible for 35% if he's met the same criteria. An appearance on the All-NBA team or a Defensive Player Award in the last season, or in two of the last three seasons, or he won MVP in one of the last three seasons. So you're talking about like a high echelon of guys right there. basically, you have to have made an All-NBA team the year before, or if you didn't make it, you have to have made it the 2 years before that. It's not an impossible task, but it's pretty tough. So, you know, that's the basic outline for maximum contracts, and then that deals with basically starting salary. So that's the salary that they'll make in year one, that percentage. As you get into years two, three, four of a contract, it's no longer a percentage of the salary cap, but just a raise over their first year salary. So for a normal player signing with a new team, he can make 5% raises annually. For a player re-signing with his current team, if his current team has bird rights, he can make 8% raises annually. And then a player signing with a new team can only sign a 4-year contract. A player re-signing with bird rights can sign a 5-year contract. So this is how that looks, for example, for a guy like Chris Paul. Chris Paul, with the Clippers, has a starting salary of $35,350,000. Chris Paul, with a new team, has a starting salary of $35,350,000. But because his raises are higher in each year of his contract with the Clippers, 8% instead of 5%, and because he has an extra season that the Clippers can offer him, the 2021-2022 season, Chris Paul is eligible with the Clippers for a 5-year, $205,030,000 contract. 5 years, $205 million, over $40 million a year. Chris Paul, with a new team, is eligible for a 4-year, $152,005,000 contract. And in the fifth year, he very likely will not be making the $46.5 million that he could make with the Clippers. Probably by that point in his career, he'll be making less than the maximum. So it's a big difference in money. The Clippers can guarantee that he will be receiving over $53 million more if he returns to the Clippers and if he signs with a new team. That's substantial. It's also a little more straightforward than Blake Griffin's situation. Blake Griffin, eligible for the 30% max, having just finished his eighth season, can sign a contract with the Clippers that presents a similar discrepancy. With the Clippers, 5 years, $175,740,000. With a new team, 4 years, $130,290,000. So you're looking at $45 million extra in raises plus that fifth year. But here's what gets a little interesting with Blake. Blake is eligible for the 30% because he's played for eight seasons. He's not eligible for that designated player extension because he didn't make All-NBA in either last season or two of the last three seasons. He made it in one of the last three seasons. The last two seasons, he's been left off. The four seasons prior to these last two where he's had his injury struggles, before that, 4 years in a row, he made All-NBA. So if Blake thinks he can make All-NBA again, next summer, he could potentially be following his ninth year of experience, making him eligible for the designated player extension, and if he earns an All-NBA slot, eligible by the qualification criteria. Meaning that he'd be able to earn a much bigger contract next season than he would this season if he bets on himself, takes a one-year deal with a player option, and makes an All-NBA team. It's a big gamble, but with next season's, not the 2017-18 season, but the 2018-19 season, being projected to have a salary cap of $102 million, a very slight, only $1 million increase over this coming year's cap, it would look something like this. Blake would be eligible for, if he signed this summer, a 1-year contract with a player option, so basically a 2-year, $63 million contract, and then after playing one season, he makes All-NBA, he opts out of the deal, and next summer, he would sign that big 5-year contract at the 35% rate. He would be making essentially $207,060,000 in that 5-year deal bringing him to a total of 6 years, $237,360,000. That is, like, insane money. Like, if you thought that the 5-year, $175 million deal that the Clippers are going to offer him was insane, 6 years, $237 million is even more insane. I mean, that's literally $62 million over the course of one extra year because of that increase from the 30% to the 35% scale. Now, it's risky. You know, Blake's had these health problems. He might just want to lock it. I mean, when you think about it, that extra $62 million obviously is a lot of money. $62 million is an unconscionably large amount of money. At the same time, how much money do you need? If you can lock in $175 million today, maybe you just do it and you forget about the potential to make that extra $60 million. But I feel like, and I don't even know if this is, you know, if this is just my bias, like I want him to do a 1-year deal. I feel like as a Clippers fan, I'd rather see him just sign the 5-year deal July 1st. So I'm not sure if it's bias that's making me say this, but I think the right move for him is a 1-year contract with a player option. Because I really feel like if he has a healthy season, if he really feels like he's healthy, like he can get healthy and play a full year, which again, he struggled the last couple seasons, but he had a pretty good run of health before that. He made 4 straight All-NBA teams. If he feels like he can get back to that level and play at least 70 games and make an All-NBA third team, which I don't think is out of reach for him, then he opens the door to make that extra $62 million. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch for Blake Griffin. Does he aim for a 5-year deal or does he aim for a 1-year deal so he can kind of take a swing at getting that mega deal next summer? Now, in the coming episodes, we'll talk a little bit about the Clippers' overall roster needs, how the Clippers can re-sign their own free agents, how the Clippers, you know, what options the Clippers will have for adding other free agents. We'll talk a little bit about the D-League, about the Clippers' potential trade packages for Carmelo Anthony. We'll get into all of that stuff, and then in the coming weeks, we'll start to get a little more, once we basically get past this baseline setting stuff, big picture things, and the tools that the Clippers have to work with, then we'll start looking at, well, who are some minimum salary backup shooting guards that the Clippers can target if they trade 2 of their shooting guards in a Carmelo Anthony deal? We'll look at real free agency targets like that, and we'll keep monitoring Clippers draft chatter. So there was a little bit of word yesterday, nothing substantial, but just a leak from an agent that the Clippers are going to have a workout at some point in the coming weeks with Oregon guard Dylan Ennis, which is not terribly exciting because Dylan Ennis was like the 3rd best player at Oregon and he's already 25 years old and he's not projected to be drafted anywhere. But the Clippers are, you know, we've seen them look at these kind of projected undrafted or late second round guys. Maybe if they really love a guy, they'll buy into the second round to take him. But ultimately, it seems like they're scouting guys for their summer league team. And then remember, the Clippers are going to have a full D-League team to fill out, and including those 2-way contracts. So we'll talk a little bit more about the D-League team and the implications of that in one of next week's episodes. But for now, I'm going to call this episode over. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan or email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. As always, check out the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com and follow on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hans signing off for Locked On Clippers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.